Blog Talk Radio. not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit,
Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. We celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The song says, set your spirit, Lord, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. I remember there was a prophet who went up to Mount Carmel. Hallelujah. And he dealt with the storm, and God was not in that storm. He dealt with the earthquake, and God was not in the earthquake. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. But a small, still voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you for this day. Hallelujah, that we're back here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to the Lord. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, transmitting here on Blog Talk Radio from Fort Pierce, Florida, throughout the whole world. And you could contact us at 516-418-5944. Press the number sign or the star and press number one, and you'll be connected to the studio. You could call us if you have the answer to the question for today's Bible mystery, or if you have a comment, testimony, or a story that you'd like to share with us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Today's mystery, the heart, my brothers and sisters. If you let the scriptures speak to you, you would have an answer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We understand that when we read the Torah, the Old Testament, with the writings and the Psalms, glory be to the Lord, that God spoke to Israel. Hallelujah. And they, when they had an encounter with the Lord, gave that location a name. Hallelujah. Like Abraham, when he was going to offer up his son, and God brought forth a ram in the bush, Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Glory be to the Lord. He didn't have to sacrifice his son. Although Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ, The altar was a type of the cross. Glory be to the Lord. And also the ram, the lamb. Glory be to the Lord, a type of Christ himself. Hallelujah. We know as Abraham was coming to Mount Moriah with Isaac, that he put the wood on Isaac's back and Isaac carried the wood. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus carried the upper poles of the cross on his back through the city. And he brought it to Golgotha where he was nailed to the cross and he gave himself up as a sacrifice. Abraham's son Isaac carried the wood and they put the wood on the altar and Abraham had tied his hands and Abraham was ready to strike him with the knife. But the angel spoke to him. God spoke to him and said, "Do not touch your son, for now I know that you love me." And the prophecy that came out of Abraham's mouth was that God will provide himself a sacrifice. And sure enough, the physical sacrifice, he offered up a ram caught in a bush. But God in Christ Jesus offered up himself as a sacrifice. Hallelujah. Yom Kippur, the Passover lamb for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We have several verses that we're going to read, and we're going to allow the verses, the word of God, to speak on its own and provide for us what we're looking for. Glory. And you're looking for an answer to the question. The question in today's mystery is, what is the promise of the Father? Glory be to the... And we find that in the book of Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus Christ was with his disciples for several days, and he showed himself with many infallible proofs. Let's read the scriptures. It's Acts chapter 1 from verse 1 down to verse 4. But I won't reveal what the answer is. It is something that you call in with the answer. And if you have the correct answer, the church, the way, the truth, and the life tabernacle will mail you a free pamphlet. It's called the tabernacle. It's like an accordion type study. And it talks about the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory be the tabernacle, also known as the tent of meetings. Glory, because it was portable. It was removable from one place to the other. When God moved in the cloud, the tabernacle moved as well. They took it apart and they carried it until the cloud stopped. Then they would rebuild the tabernacle there so they would have a place of fellowship with God. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And in the Jewish language, I believe the name for tabernacle is Khan, K-A-H-N, Khan, tabernacle. Glory be, glory be. So you will get a beautiful, colorful pamphlet, and you keep it in your Bible, and it is something that you can look at when you are somewhere and you're waiting for it to be called or whatever it is. Whenever you have the opportunity, you'll take out this pamphlet and you look over the tabernacle and you learn what the tabernacle is all about. And you're going to see. If you remember what Paul said, he said, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Hallelujah. And so we have to live holy and we have to live righteous because God himself, God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us. And we don't want to grieve him. We don't want to push him away. We want him to be with us always. And if the Holy Spirit is with you, demons cannot occupy the same space where the Holy Spirit is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Demons will try to occupy that space because they want to control you and they want to make you fall from your faith. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Glory, glory. So let's read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And let's see what the scripture tells us. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, and this is Luke writing the book of Acts, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the blank, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with blank not many days hence. Glory be to the Lord. What is the promise of the Father? So we see Luke writing in this Acts, but he also wrote about it in the Gospel of Luke. Then we turn to chapter 24 and we begin at verse 45. We're going to see that Luke wrote about this. He wrote about it in the book of Acts and he wrote it about it here. He started it in the book of Acts. And in the book of Luke, he's ending. So with what he's ending in the Gospel of Luke, he starts in the book of Acts. So let's read that, 45 through 51. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Glory be, hallelujah. So we see Jesus here prophesying and speaking to the apostles of the scriptures and opening up their understanding. Because if you remember, there was a time when Jesus spoke to them and the crowd in parables. And there were times when they came privately and asked Jesus to explain the parables to them. And he told them, listen, it's been given to you to understand the parables, the mysteries of the parables, and the mysteries of the kingdom. And that's why I speak in parables, because they hear and they don't understand, but you understand. And here he's speaking of the kingdom of God again and what he was going to go through, how he was going to suffer, how he was going to die and rise on the third day. And he was prophesying of that, and he also said to them, you are witnesses, you know, you are witnesses of these things. And if you remember when Judas Iscariot had hung himself, that they, the apostles, the 11 apostles, threw lots to find out if Barsabbas or Matthias were the next apostles. And Peter, standing up, said, look, let's throw lots, but it has to be of those that were with us, even from the resurrection. And that's what Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. And sure enough, when Jesus resurrected, the gospel was preached unto the world, and people was given, Paul gave unto them what he's received. And that's what he, and if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 down, you're going to notice that This is what Paul says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He's going to explain the gospel to the people, because anything else besides the gospel is something that we teach on the side. We teach so the people could be spiritually growth and grow. But this is the gospel. He says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due season. And this is what Paul delivered unto them. And this is our message for our brothers and sisters throughout the world and everyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. I cannot give you anything apart from the gospel. We are sinners because we was born in sin. We had committed sin in our lifetime, and that separated us from God. But God so loved us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to become the sacrifice for us. Remember, they were under the law. So Jesus Christ became the Passover sacrifice. He gave his body as a sacrifice. He shed his precious blood for our redemption. We was brought back with a price. We was bought with a price. We don't own ourselves. And because Jesus Christ paid the price for our redemption, we could say we are saved. We are born again if we repent of our sins and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. There's nothing else that I could give you. You have to be persuaded. You have to understand that only through Jesus Christ could we be saved. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Because Jesus Christ was given everything. And he's the head of the church. And he is the representative of God the Father and the Holy Spirit himself in this earth. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But where does this all come from? Well, it comes all the way from God's feast. And if we turn to Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to come across very interesting passages that the Lord had given to Moses to write. And you have to think about it. Remember, what they're going to celebrate now in Mount Sinai is the giving of the law. the Ten Commandments. And little by little bit, somehow their leaders turned it into 613 commandments. But the Lord gave them Ten Commandments. But what happened after Christ resurrected and he was with the disciples for 40 days, he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And they were going to be endued with power from on high. Well, what is the promise of the Father? That's the question for today. For today's Bible mystery, what is the promise of the Father? I would venture to say those of us that are seasoned in the Gospels, seasoned in the Scriptures, we know the answer. But if you're not seasoned and you're struggling with the answer, the answer is in the Scriptures. I'm not going to give you the answer. It is something that I would like for you to study, look it up, do your cross-references, do your Bible dictionaries, your concordance, and you will come up with the answer, because that's how you're going to learn. If I give you the answers, you're not going to learn. But if you study for yourself, because Paul could have revealed everything to Timothy, but he told Timothy that he's to study himself, approve unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because the word of God commands us that we are to be ready with an answer if someone was to ask us of the joy that's within us. You know, that's why we walk around joyful and worshiping the Lord, because we know absent from the body is present with the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. But let's read Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to read two verses there. Hallelujah. Which is chapter 23, verse 15. Through 17, I'm going to make a little correction, because in the Facebook there, the Dashbook has the wrong information. I'm just going to fix one. There you have it. So now we have the correct information. It's going to be Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 through 17. And the word of God says this: and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Glory be. You notice that the priest will wave 2 bread offerings. Those 2, why does he have 2? Because it represents, one represents the Gentiles and one represents the Jewish nation or Israel. Because together, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are called the new man. Remember when Jesus Christ gave his spirit on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in 2 from top to bottom. So no longer was there something to separate us, which was the law. Now we have something that unites us, which is the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says, that we have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the same Spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see here that the Jewish people celebrated this feast day, and the feast day is called Pentecost. And so that's a Jewish feast day, or the Lord's feast day. And that would be 50 days after the wave offering, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. But when you read Acts chapter 2, And we're going to read that because something happened when we read chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 through 4. Something happened on that day that they was going to celebrate the Pentecost. Something happened in the day that they were going to celebrate the giving of the law. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and that's a study in itself, my brothers and sisters. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means they count the seven Sabbaths plus the day after tomorrow. 7 times 7 is 49, plus the day after tomorrow is the 50th day. They were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the blank, and began to speak with other tongues as the blank gave them utterance. So something happened on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The promise of the Father was given. Something happened. And that's where we need to understand how God is a witness and how God gives us things that he promised that he will give us. If we go to chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, we're going to read some interesting information, and we're going to read from verse 16 and 17. We're in chapter 14, and it says, "And the disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And the evening, and he cometh with the 12. Glory be, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I have the scriptures. I'm looking into the scriptures because I know there's a typo there. It's a typo there. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The scriptures we're looking for is that he will give us another comforter. Let me look it up, and I'll tell you exactly what verse, what chapter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I got it right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's because I was looking at Mark chapter 14, but it's the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the blank of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it see him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise because of what he has done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And the word of God says the following. And now you know, withhold it that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is that? Who is that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Some scriptures have it restrainer until he is restrained. And you know what we hold with, and you know what restrained that he might be revealed in his time. So who restrained the Antichrist? Some say the church, some say something else. But what is the promise of the Father? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as you grow in the Spirit and you understand the scriptures more closely, you're going to read certain scriptures and you're going to wonder why some scriptures say one thing and other scriptures say another. Well, we're gonna look into this and ask God to help us to understand why was it that Jesus told the disciples, you know, go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Remember, they were under the law, but now they're going to be under grace. So if we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you're going to see that God had given everything to his Son, Jesus Christ, that he had in the book of Philippians, that he has given him a name above every other name in heaven and earth and under the earth. So we know that the Father's name in the Old Testament, we follow through with the scriptures as Yahweh, you know. However, the name Jesus Christ is above Yahweh. God made it so. And so in verse 238, Peter's talking to the different people of Sanhedrin, the different people in the neighborhood. And he's telling them how, you know, they crucified the Holy One of Israel. And he explained to them from the very beginning to the very end, the story of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And some of the people responded this way, verse 37. Now when they heard this, pricking their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter answered, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift or the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? There's many denominations out there that, you know, they, because Jesus said this and Jesus said that, that they're going to be adhered to that, and that is correct. However, we see a transformation. We see something occurring. And since the Father gave everything over to the Son, a matter of fact, when we read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says there, God at different times spoke to us by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. So we see how Jesus Christ is elevated because he gave himself to redeem us. And he had a has a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So in baptism now, we should, to be a born-again Christian, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions, for the taking away of your sins. When you do that, Christ washes you and cleanses you. Just like Moses washed the people, Moses washed his brother, his sons. He washed them before they were able to go up to Mount Sinai and see God. Here, Christ is washing us with his precious blood. When we read Revelations chapter 7, it talks about those souls that were under the altar, that they washed their robes in blood. They had white garments, but they washed them in blood. The blood cleanses us. So what is the promise of the Father? Hallelujah. We have 16 minutes to go, and this is a time for you to be going over your scriptures. And, you know, if you want to call us with the answers, 516-418-5944. You look for the number sign, press number 1, and you'll be transferred to the studio. And you give your answer if you have it. Or if you have a comment, question, or testimony, you could also call us at the number. Glory be to the Lord. While you're looking these up, let me just share with you the itinerary of the church. Every Sunday at 6 p.m., we're here on Blog Talk Radio with the Bible Mystery. We give a Bible Mystery a question, and we look for the answer. Hallelujah. And it's little things that, you know, are there in the Bible that we could look at and understand. On Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have intercessory prayer. Encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here at the Bible Mystery or in prayer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On Thursday, we have power of God in witnessing, and that'll be our last subtopic, and we're going to finish our study. Is Christianity real? We know that there's about 4,200 religions out there and beliefs, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be, hallelujah. So on Thursday at 6 p.m., when we do our Bible study, we're going to be looking over the power of God in witnessing. That'll be the last subtopic. And then the following Thursday, we're going to study the comparison between what is the rapture and what is the second coming. And after we have analyzed those, then we're going to go into, is it pre-trip, mid-trip, or post-trip? Is the rapture pre-trip, mid-trip, or post trip. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that's what we're going to do after we study. We're going to be looking at the comparison between the rapture and the second coming, because a lot of people get it confused. They believe that the second coming is the rapture. And you have to understand, I'll give you a little hint. The rapture, we are going to be taken to the clouds. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. In the second coming, he puts his feet on Mount Olivet. So one is going to be up in the clouds, and the other is going to be on Mount Olivet. How people confuse that, it's something that we have to pray about so people could get a good understanding of the scriptures. The scriptures are plain. The scriptures are straightforward. You should not make a mistake as to what these scriptures are. Then after we look over the comparison between the rapture and the second coming, we're going to focus a lot on the rapture, and we're going to look at three beliefs that they have out there: pre-trip, mid-trip, and post-trip. And we're going to look at all three, analyze each one and see what is entailed, what each one brings, so to speak, to the table. And then you know, we have to choose which one is the correct one, which one is the one that you want. I know that, first of all, the tribulation starts immediately following, or the second coming, immediately following the tribulation of those days. So after 7 years of tribulation, Christ is coming back, because the tribulation is 7 years. And then you got people that believe in the mid-trip. They think that the first 3.5 years, it's going to be trials. But in the second half is when, before the second half starts, they believe that the church will be lifted up, the mid-trip. Pre-trip is, we go by 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. The church, or we, have not been appointed to the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes upon children of disobedience. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, it says, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinners and the disobedient appear? So, brothers and sisters, we are the righteous. Because if when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, Jesus Christ became sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So in Christ, we are righteous. And so we was not appointed to the wrath of God. And we're going to be lifted up before the wrath comes upon this earth, because we're going to make it in. Sinners are not going to make it into heaven. Disobedient are not going to make it in. They're going to be judged for the words and the deeds that they have done. And their names are not going to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Those of us that are righteous in Christ Jesus will go to the Bema Seat. We're going to be judged for the good or bad we have done in this body after we got saved. Not for salvation, but after salvation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We got about 9 minutes to go. What is the promise of the Father? Hallelujah. You could call us at 516-418-5944 with the answer. Or if you have a comment, question, or testimony, you could also call us at that number. Glory be to the Lord. Look for the number sign. Look for the number one. And when you press that, you will be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. What is the promise of the Father? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, some people don't want to call in because they know the answer and they don't want to put themselves out there. But it's okay. If you know the answer, just call in. And we hear you. Part of the participation, and you'll be helping us and helping those that need to study the word to know a little bit more. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Who is or what is the promise of the Father? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at a parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Hallelujah. And we have certain questions in that mystery that if you have an answer to, you could win the beautiful pamphlet, colorful accordion pamphlet, describes a lot of the tabernacle. Glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The mystery of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Bible mystery for tonight. What is the promise of the Father? You can call us at 516-418-5944 if you have the answer to the Bible mystery, what is the promise of the Father, or if you have a question, comment, testimony, you could also call us and we will deal with that. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A lot of people, they stay away from calling because this is a live radio program and it goes worldwide, international, because it's the internet that this goes through. So people pick up their computer, they open it up, and they go to participate in this program. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The reason we don't use the regular airways, because there's a lot of people that use those airways. There's a lot of programs in the airways, and there's very few on the internet that goes around. So I've chosen to go with Blog Talk Radio, and every day I pray for them. I ask God to watch over those in behind the scenes. You don't see them, you don't hear them, but they're working very hard to make sure that this program goes out in the internet. Glory be to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So what is the promise of the Father? What is the promise of the Father? We looked over about 8 different verses of the Bible, different chapters in the Bible, and each one gave a little hint as to what is the promise of the Father. And that should help you out. I gave you Acts 1 and 4, Luke 24, 45 to 1, Leviticus 23, 15 and 17, John 14, 16 and 17, Acts 2, 1 through 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 to 7, and Acts 2, 38. You read them and you compare scripture with scripture. We know that Isaiah wrote little here, there, little, here, little, precept upon precept. And the word, and as we study the word, we allow it to be in our hearts. We meditate upon the word of God. You know, a lot of people say that some places the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible has a lot of mysteries. And some people don't understand the mysteries, so they say the Bible contradicts itself. And some places God is speaking through parables and through mysteries and through visions and different things, and people don't understand it because they're trying to interpret it with the natural carnal mind, where Jesus said the word is spiritual, the word is alive, and we understand it in the spirit. God has given unto us through the spirit an understanding of his word naturally, because we know the Bible says that the carnal man or the natural is at enmity or at war against God. So the natural man could not understand the things of the spirit. We have to maintain ourselves walking in the spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a lot of things that the flesh does that is not of God. There's a lot of things that we get tempted with that is not of God. God doesn't tempt anyone. God allows the enemy to tempt us. God allows sometimes the enemy to come against us. But you know, that's just a test, just for us to depend on him. If we acknowledge our ways, if we give everything to the Lord, trust him, resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we acknowledge God in all our ways, he will direct our path. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's another mystery that the Lord gave me, which I'm going to write down. And that is, what is it that Jesus wrote on the dirt when they brought the woman who was caught in adultery? What is it that Jesus wrote on the dirt? Hallelujah. 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 The answer is found in the Old Testament. It's not found in the New Testament. Although that story is in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, we could read that story. But the answer is in the Old Testament. It's in the Torah. It's in the Torah. So we've got about a minute and a half to go. So if you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, or you have the answer to the question, what is the promise of the Father, you could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1. You'll be connected directly with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you would give me the answer, and the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet, accordion-type pamphlet, of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, the symbolism that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. That's today's Bible mystery. What is the promise of the Father? We'll be back on Tuesday at 3:00 in the morning for our intercessory prayer. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944, for intercessory prayer on Tuesday at 3:00 in the morning. That is the fourth watch, the watch that Jesus also prayed. So until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Glory, glory.